Our Old Testament reading this morning comes from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 43, verses 16 through 21. This is what the Lord says, He who made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters, who drew out the chariots and horses, the army and reinforcements together, and they lay there, never to rise again, extinguished, snuffed out like a wick. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. The wild animals honor me, the jackals and the owls, because I provide water in the desert and streams in the wasteland to give drink to my people, my chosen, the people I formed for myself, that they may proclaim my praise. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Lord, on this holy Sabbath, as we gather together to worship you and to hear your word proclaimed, we pray that you will inspire us with the power of your Spirit. Open our hearts and our minds. Enlighten us, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Our New Testament reading comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verses 1 through 10. I tell you the truth, the man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but they did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All who ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. This is the word of the Lord. Well, as many of you know, the last few chapters of John record conversations between Jesus and all sorts of people who are trying to figure out who he is. Some people, especially those who have been healed by his miracles, or who have been transformed by his teaching, believe that Jesus is from God, and some think maybe he is even the Messiah. Other people, however, have remained skeptical. Some are suggesting he's a fraud. But in addition to the believers on the one hand and the skeptics on the other, there are a whole bunch of people in the middle, people in the crowd, who to this point don't really know what to think about this mysterious rabbi from Nazareth. All of this is to say that the dominating question at this point in John's gospel is the question, who is this man Jesus? Who is this miracle worker who teaches with such authority? Is he from God? Is he God? Can we trust him? Should we follow him? Where will he lead us if we do? And what will he ask of us? And when you stop to think about it, they're the sorts of questions that we're still asking today. Who is this man Jesus? And what would it mean to give your life to following him? 2,000 years have passed, and we still haven't all agreed on the answer to that question. Jesus was born in an obscure village, born to a peasant woman. He was a poor carpenter most of his life and an itinerant preacher for about 3 years. He never traveled more than 200 miles from his birthplace. He had no credentials but himself. And here's what's puzzling. How is it possible that this one life, which was lived in obscurity and ended in agony and suffering, how has he seen its legacy grow to the point where now Jesus is without question the most influential figure, the centerpiece of the human race, and the leader of the movement of human progress? John Ortberg is a current pastor in Menlo Park, and he's the author of a book entitled, Who is This Man? Ortberg points out that you can't look at a map without seeing Jesus' influence. Cities around the world have been named after him or his followers. Cathedrals have been built worldwide as places to worship him. Look at a calendar and you see Jesus' influence. The year 2019 reflects the number of years since Jesus' birth. We live in 2019 AD. That AD stands for the Latin term Anno Domini, which means the year of our Lord. His life is the very dividing line of human history. And yet, in our scripture passage this morning, when Jesus looks out at people, what is it that he sees? Apparently, he sees a flock of sheep. It's not just in this passage, but throughout the Gospels, we hear references to Jesus, to sheep, and to his flock. Now, we may not know what to make of this in our particular day. We may not understand about sheep and how to get this point that Jesus is trying to make. But people in Jesus' day knew exactly what he meant. Sheep were integral to the ancient Jewish society. Everybody knew what it meant to be compared to a sheep. The dominant characteristic of a sheep is dependence. They are helpless, they're dependent, they're easily frightened, and they're forever getting lost. And like it or not, Jesus says that we, all of us, are like sheep. In Jesus' day, some sheep had it good. And let me describe for you the good life for a sheep. Fortunate sheep had a shepherd, a caretaker, who would spend all of his time with the flock. And since sheep in those days were used primarily for wool, shepherds often spent years with the same animals. That meant that they came to know their sheep very well, and even grew to have affection for each animal, giving them each a name. And the sheep, in turn, knew the voice of their shepherd, and they would come immediately whenever he called. During the day, shepherds would lead their flocks to good pastures, guiding them to the nourishment and to standing guard to protect them from their predators. And at night, the shepherd would lead his flock into a sheep pen or a sheep fold where the animals would be protected from predators or thieves. And if they were out in the countryside, this pen was nothing more than a crude circle of rocks placed with an opening on one side. And since these pens had no gate to block the entrance, it was common for the shepherd to lay down and sleep at night in the opening to prevent the sheep from wandering out and to keep the thieves and the predators from coming in. So a sheep who found itself under the care of such a shepherd was an animal who, in terms of sheep, was living the good life. It was cared for at all times, protected at all times, provided for at all times, and it was known at all times. So with this in mind, let's turn back again to the parable Jesus tells here. Speaking to a crowd of people still trying to figure out exactly who he is, Jesus paints this picture. "You are like sheep," he says, "helpless and dependent. We live in a world full of enemies who would like to harm us, enemies against whom we have no adequate defense." The wolves and the thieves, which Jesus mentions here, are meant to symbolize our enemies, but we cannot hide, and alone we cannot protect ourselves. And so Jesus becomes that gate, the one, the shepherd who stands in the entrance of the sheep pen to protect us from those who would come in to do us harm. But Jesus says, wait, all is not lost, for there is a shepherd, a good shepherd. When he comes, he calls out for us to follow him, to go with him out into the world. And when he calls, we know his voice. Somehow it becomes familiar to us. It's not like the voice of the others who come for us. We don't recognize their voices. But the shepherd's voice we know. He calls us each by name. He speaks as if he knows us. And his voice sounds as if it can be trusted. In Jesus' day, the sheep gate was absolutely central to ensuring the good life for the sheep. Sheep could not stay forever in the sheep pen, or they would starve to death. Neither could they stay forever out in the pasture, or they would be attacked by predators. And therefore, the good life for a sheep depended on its constantly coming and going through the sheep gate, from pasture to pen, from provision to protection, always through the sheep gate. So we see what Jesus is saying here. Life in all its intended fullness comes to us through Jesus. Apart from him, we are utterly helpless against those in the world who would seek to do us harm. Through Christ, we find protection and we find provision. Through Christ, we find salvation, we find security, we find satisfaction. And it is through Jesus that we find what he called abundant life. This is more life and better life than you ever dreamed is possible. So are you beginning to see how Jesus answers the question, who is this man? Who am I? Jesus asks. I am the gate through which the life you have always desired, the life for which you were made, the life which I came to give you, is found. And this morning, as we come to the Lord's table, let us remember that we are acknowledging Jesus as the one who brings fulfillment to our lives by giving up his life for us. This morning we come to the table to acknowledge his sacrifice, the sacrifice of Jesus, our Lord, our Savior, our friend. Hallelujah. Amen.
Through the waters of baptism, we are born into Christ's family. That family is nourished and sustained at this table. Though we are baptized but once, in the Lord's Supper we reaffirm our commitment to Christ, and God renews us with his grace. This is the joyful feast of the people of God. According to Luke, when our risen Lord was at table with his disciples, He took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. This is the Lord's table. Our Savior invites those who trust him to share the feast he has prepared. Let us now give thanks. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Almighty Father, creator of all things and source of every blessing, by your power and wisdom, you brought the universe into being and created us in your image. You called us to love and serve you. Therefore, we praise you, joining our voices with choirs of angels and with all the faithful of every time and place. We join in giving you praise. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. God of glory, you are holy, and blessed is Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, whom you sent out of love for the world to be our Savior. By the power of the Holy Spirit, Christ was born as one of us. By his death, Christ delivered us from our sins, reconciling us to you. And risen from the tomb, he gives us new and abundant life, so that we live in him and declare, Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. Almighty God, we come humbly before your throne. All glory is yours, now and forever. Amen. Friends, on the night when he was betrayed, Jesus took bread, and after giving thanks, he broke it, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat the bread and drink the cup, you proclaim Christ's death until he comes again." Let us pray. Almighty God, we bow humbly before you. In the presence of your Holy Spirit, we pray that you will pour out your Spirit upon these gifts, the gifts of the bread and the cup. And Lord, we pray that you will inspire us to truly be Christ-like in the world today, to go out and show the love which you have shown so immensely to us. And Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to gather in your name and to proclaim our love and devotion to you. We pray in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen. Friends, this is the Lord's table. All who believe are welcome at this table. Today we will be serving by distribution, which means the elements will be passed down the pews. I do have gluten-free bread for those who desire it. And as we pass it, let us remember in this particular holy season that we are acknowledging the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ in this meal. Come, let us worship the Lord through his Holy Supper. Thank you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, on this holy morning, when we acknowledge that Jesus Christ is the gate through which we must pass in order to know the full glory of our Lord and the God our Father, we just pray, Lord, that you will guide us and lead us as we face the challenges ahead in our lives. Help us always to be joyful and to rejoice in the many blessings that we do enjoy. Lord, this morning we do lift up to you those who are in need of your care and healing. We do remember Joseph. We remember the Love family, Reverend and Mrs. Love. We just pray, Lord, that they will feel your presence as we put our total and complete confidence in you. We trust you, Lord. And Lord, we thank you for all of the many ways that we are called to serve you. And during this Lenten season, as we approach Palm Sunday, and then Holy Week, the week of Passion, as we approach Good Friday, and then the glorious celebration of Easter Sunday, keep us ever mindful that it is by your sacrifice that we have the opportunity to know full joy and full fulfillment in your life. So thank you, Lord. And this morning we just bow humbly as we pray the prayer that you taught us to pray by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let us respond to God's word by returning our gifts to him.